Good morning and welcome to worship here at the table at Central United Methodist Church. My name is Matt, and along with Linda, we serve as the co-pastors here for this community of faith, and we're so grateful to gather together on this Palm Sunday. And we're gonna move into worship together first with prayer. I first wanna welcome those gathering online and name that Chloe is there with you as a host. You're welcome to reach out to Chloe if you have any questions or need anything through the chat. I wanna invite us to take a deep breath. I know that we gather coming from many places, holding all kinds, at least collectively, of mixed up emotions and feelings about a week which has brought many things to our attention. So I just invite you to take a breath. God, as your unfolding grace gathers us in this moment, may we pause in awe of your love for the world. As we hold the depth of your love, we are aware of the hurt, the brokenness, within our own lives and certainly in the world around us. On this day, we remember that just down the street from us, a year ago, 6 people were killed in a mass shooting. We pray for those who are reeling, the children and teachers and staff and families reeling in anguish following yet another mass shooting. May our lawmakers do their jobs. May we find our voice in opposing the pandemic of gun violence, which is literally killing our babies, your beloved children. For the children and the adults who died needlessly in Juarez, and for the migrants who are finding their way in the aftermath of trauma upon trauma, may your grace and love comfort and hold them. May our country actually live into its vision of welcome. And may we find our voice in creating cultures of hospitality across every difference. We pray for Pastor Casey Tenen, his husband, and Loomis Basin United Church of Christ as they continue to welcome queer youth through a ministry called Landing Spot. May we find our voice alongside others in resisting injustice and evil everywhere, and may we celebrate and breathe deeply the hope experienced by so many this week on a transgender day of visibility. God, may every day become one in which each child, every part of creation, is seen as your beloved. We offer this in our lives, in your creative ways, in many names. Amen. Amen. I invite you to stand in body and spirit. We're going to move from prayer into a sung prayer. This song comes to us actually from St. Francis. It was written in the 13th century. And then it has been adapted. We feel like it invites us into Wendell Berry's Sabbath vision. And it's a celebration of God's love for creation. Oftentimes in Lent, churches put away alleluias during this season. But this morning with St. Francis and with Wendell Berry's Sabbath vision, we are going to break that rule. And so I invite us to join our voices as we move together in song. This is our music team guiding us together in All Creatures.
All creatures of our God and King, lift up your voice and with us sing. Oh, praise God, hallelujah. Thou burning sun with golden beam, thou silver moon with softer gleam. Oh,
Slowly, slowly, they return to the small woodland let alone. Great trees, outspreading and upright, apostles of the living light. Patient as stars, they build in air, tier after tier, a timbered choir. Stout beams upholding weightless grace of song, a blessing on this place. They stand in waiting all around, uprisings of their native ground, downcomings of the distant light. They are the advent they await. Receiving sun and giving shade, their life's a benefaction made, and is a benediction said over the living and the dead. In fall, their brightened leaves released fly down the wind, and we are pleased to walk on radiance amazed. O light, come down to earth, be praised.
I see trees of green. To myself, skies of blue and clouds of white. The bright, blessed day and the dark, sacred night. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Babies cry and I watch them grow. They'll know much more than I'll ever know. And I think to myself,
what a wonderful world. My world is wonderful. But there are so many transgender sisters that is out there are going through a lot. There's so many people going through a lot. But we have hope. We have faith. And we have love. Welcome. My name is Sarneet Prasad, and I'm our Sunday morning coordinator here at the table. We are grateful to be together both in person and online as we move into Holy Week on this Palm Sunday. Our worship series is called Sabbath Rest, Wendell Berry and the Sabbath Poetry of Lent. For those of us gathering online at thetable.live, Chloe is with you as our host this morning. Please message her in the chat if you have questions or need assistance. Today's bulletin is available with a QR code for those in the sanctuary, and a link will be shared for those online. If you would like to learn more about our community of faith, please text the word NEW to the number on the screen. When you feel ready to connect with others and learn more about the table, our co-pastors lead a series called Growing in Faith, which is designed to help newcomers learn more about how we share life here at the table. Our next Growing in Faith series will be held on Tuesday evening from 6 to 7:30 beginning April 18. Learn more and sign up on our website, thetableumc.org. Here's our plan for coming week, which we call Holy Week. We will gather at 6 p.m. at the Table Farm for Monday, Thursday. This will be an intergeneration gathering appropriate for children and family. Music will be woven with a brief message and a communion. Please bring homemade bread, baked item, and juice to share. We'll supply tasting of local crafted ciders. We'll gather both online and in person in the sanctuary at 7 p.m. on Holy Friday for a sober remembrance of crucifixion of Jesus. This will be an adult-centered gathering. We'll celebrate mystery and hope of resurrection at sunrise on Easter with 6:30 a.m. worship at Rose Garden at McKinley Park. Our Easter worship celebration will be held at 9:30 and 11 a.m. online via the table.live and in person in the sanctuary. We look forward to seeing you at the farm on Thursday and then here and online Friday and Sunday. We will continue to move in worship with our music team sharing a song which is new to our community of faith and calling citizens. I invite you to take a breath and allow this song, which touches on the theme of Palm Sunday, to a communal expression of prayer.
Questions, quieting all my suggestions. What is this meaning of Christian in this American life? I'm feeling awfully foolish, spending my life on a message. I look around and I wonder ever if I heard it right. Coming to you cause I'm confused, coming to you cause I feel used, coming to weep while I'm waiting. Tell me you won't make me go. I need to know there is justice, that it will roll in abundance, and that you're building a city where we arrive as immigrants, and you call us citizens, and you welcome us as children home. You were alone and rejected, misunderstood and detested. You gave it all, didn't hold back. You gave up all of your life. How can we call ourselves Christians, saying that love is a tension between the call of the cross and between the old party line? Coming to you for the mothers who are all running for cover. There is a flood from their weeping. Tell me you won't make them go. I need to know there is justice, that it will roll in abundance, and that you're building a city where we arrive as immigrants, and you call us citizens, and you welcome us as children home. There is a man with a family. He has a wife and a baby. He broke the law just to save them, working for $3 an hour. Truly, you said we are equal. Everyone's heart is deceitful.
Everyone born is illegal, but love is the law of the land. Coming to you for the hungry, eating the scraps of this country. Didn't you swear you would feed them? Tell me you won't make them go. I need to know there is justice, that we will roll in abundance, and that you're building a city where we arrive as immigrants, and you call us citizens, and you welcome us as children home. There is a wolf who is ranting. All of the sheep, they are clapping, promising power and protection, claiming the Christ who was killed. Killed by a common consensus. Everyone screaming Barabbas, trading their God for a hero, forfeiting heaven for Rome. Coming to you because I'm angry. Coming to you because I'm guilty. Coming to you because you've promised to leave the flock for the one. I need to know there's justice that will roll in abundance, and that you're building a city where we arrive as immigrants, and you call us citizens, and you welcome us as children home. Is there a way to love always, living in enemy hallways? Don't know my foes from my friends, and don't know my friends anymore. Power has several prizes. Handcuffs can come in all sizes. Love has a million disguises, but winning is simply not won.
Thank you, Melissa and Ben, and amazing musicians. Karen is going to share our scripture, but we're going to make a shift this morning with our children's ministry because we had some teachers who are not feeling well. And so we're going to combine some things. Instead of moving up to godly play this morning, we're going to invite young friends that might do better for families to make their way over to the A-frame, where Empress and Sierra will help us in that space, and Victor can maybe help them over there. So instead of godly play this morning, children are welcome to stay right here in the sanctuary. There are some art supplies in the back that Michelle, who is back there, and Sarnit could help you find, or you're welcome to make your way over to the A-frame as, listen to that on cue, that guitar just keeps going. I love working with Ben. Beautiful. And Karen's going to share for us.
Good morning. I'll be reading this morning from Matthew chapter 21, sharing from a translation, the First Nations translation, an indigenous translation of the New Testament, and we invite you to follow along. They came to the house of unripe figs at the foot of Olive Mountain, near Village of Peace. There, he sent two of his followers ahead of him. "Go into the village ahead of us," he instructed them. "As soon as you enter, you will find a donkey tied there with her colt. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone asks what you are doing, say to them, 'Our wisdom keeper has need of them,' and the owner will release them to you." This took place to show the full meaning of the ancient prophecy. "Speak these words to the daughter of Strong Mountain. Behold, your chief is coming to you in a humble way, riding upon a donkey, a colt still with its mother." His followers did as they were told. When they arrived at the village, they found everything just as he had said. They brought the donkey colt to Creator Sets Free and laid their outer garments on the colt, and he sat down on them. From the large crowd, many began to cut branches from nearby trees and spread their outer garments on the road in front of him. The crowd circled around him front and back and began to shout, "Hosanna!" to the descendant of the much-loved one. Blessed is the one who comes representing the Great Spirit. Hosanna to the highest one. When he rode through the gates, entering the village of peace, the whole village was in an uproar. "Who is this?" they asked. "He is Creator Sets Free, the prophet from the seed planter village in Circle of Nations," the crowd answered. The word of God for the people of God. Amen.
As our musicians move down, I want to invite us into a spirit of prayer. God, may your unsettling peace stir our hearts. May your calming presence comfort our bodies. And may your abiding love guide the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts, that this time might be in alignment with your hope for the world. Amen. In the hours that we're following yet another mass shooting in our country, this time in Nashville at a private Christian school, this is one of the images that circulated on social media. It's a comic by Bill Bramhall from the New York Daily, and showing a man standing beneath a card shop mass shooting condolence card section. Options include the mall, school, church, concert. A friend shared the image. It's notably from 2017. The friend who shared this message pleaded on social media, "How long, God? How long, God?" That's the sentiment that seemingly echoes the despair which the people standing outside of Jerusalem must have felt on that first Sunday, Palm Sunday. The crowd gathered there outside of Jerusalem chanted, as we heard Karen name, Hosanna. It's a desperate and demanding Hebrew cry, which means, "Save us now, God. We beg you." And something like how that Bramhall comic illustration from 2017 recirculated this week in 2023, the scene that's depicted in Matthew's gospel is also a dramatic recirculation of a story that had run 6 centuries earlier this time, in the time of the ancient prophet Zechariah. Zechariah, 6 centuries early, stirred the people of God, "Rejoice greatly. Shout aloud. See, your king comes to you triumphant and victorious, is humble and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." And it leaves me wondering if the people of God, 6 centuries later, were as weary and as dismayed back then as so many feel today in the face of empire, which will not relent for the good of the people, not even our children. Jesus' arrival at the Mount of Olives is not incidental in any way. In that earlier circulation, 600 years before, Zechariah calls the people of God to expect that the Messiah, the Savior, will arrive via the Mount of Olives on the day of the Lord and come as a monarch over all the earth. So it's no surprise that Matthew goes out of his way in the gospel to underscore that Jesus' arrival in Jerusalem bears all the same marks that Zechariah's prophecy held. Shout, Hosanna, the new era, this jubilee, it is begun. Matthew's recirculation of the ancient story is more, though, than a reenactment of Zechariah's vision. It has this comic, cartoonish, mocking, street theater feel to it. There's props and costumes. In this reenactment, we're symbolically connected back to other iconic ancient stories in ways that flip scripts upside down. There's a large crowd that gathers and they cut down branches. In John's gospel, those are palm branches. And so in the church around the globe, we call this Palm Sunday, because in one of the articulations of this story, those are palm branches. In case we miss it, though, the entry of Jesus into Jerusalem is symbolically connecting Jesus in this moment and what's happening to Sukkot, the Festival of Booths. It's one of the three Jewish pilgrimage festivals. There you see one of the booths in a contemporary setting. It's drawing us back through the book of Leviticus, instructing us in the book of Leviticus, not just palm branches are cut down, but fruit from majestic trees, leafy trees, willows of the brook. And for 7 days, the people of God live in booths as a reminder of the Israelites who lived in booths generations ago when God brought them out of the land of Egypt. So the palms themselves are symbolic reminders that, like Moses, Jesus will lead a new exodus, new delivery for creation to freedom. The costumes function just as symbolically as the props, the branches in this case. The crowd, you may have heard in Karen's reading, spreads their cloaks on the road. This is a way of signaling we are taking off our identities. We are putting them on the ground, recognizing, as we hear in Kings and in Zechariah, that this one who is coming is royal, of royalty. The new era is actually an old era coming into a new way of being. This is a king unlike any king that we've been imagining. Reading the Palm Sunday story this year, though, alongside the poetry and the Sabbath vision of Wendell Berry, I've been drawn to wonder not just about these branches or the taking off of the outer robes, but to wonder about the dirt stage underneath the people who are gathering for this street theater recirculation of an old, old story. Wendell Berry writes, "All my dawns cross the horizon and rise from underfoot. What I stand for is what I stand on." Turning our attention with Wendell Berry to the dirt on this Palm Sunday would seem to invite a poetic Sabbath vision for how we might approach the long composting journey of Holy Week, which now lies ahead. And thankfully, we have historians who can help us to pay attention to what folks standing on the dirt on that first Palm Sunday might have felt when Creator Sets Free asked his disciples to oddly secure a donkey for his journey down the mountain into the city. Marcus Borg and John Dominic Crossan share a backstory in a compelling book called The Last Week: What the Gospels Really Teach About Jesus' Last Days in Jerusalem. Of note to us that Jesus is standing with his people on the eastern edge of Jerusalem, moving toward the city from the east. And the population of Jerusalem is swelling at Passover from, say, 50,000 people to 200,000 people. Just think of the number of feet walking these small streets in Jerusalem versus a normal day. The Roman governor of Judea, though, didn't walk on that dirt at all. Instead, he distanced himself from the dirt. He rode atop a stallion into Jerusalem from the opposite direction. He came from his coastal palace, his residence in the west, and I imagine that the dirt would have actually have shaken under the gait of those warring horses that were coming in from the west, trembled amid the clamoring armor that those horses and Roman leaders and soldiers would have worn. legions of metal-clad soldiers, dignitaries seated high above the ground. So perhaps it shouldn't be lost on us that Jesus and the Jewish people are all descending upon Jerusalem for the Passover to commemorate the moment in which God set them free from an empire. And they're gathering with 200,000 other people to celebrate that long-ago freedom, confronted by the reality that this thundering royal brigade coming from the west might allow them to remember being set free, but will certainly not allow them to be free in the moment in which they find themselves. That battalion coming in demands nothing less than submission, obedience, deference, loyalty. And in contrast, Jesus approaches from the east. He rides not on a stallion, but on a donkey. A donkey with its mother, according to the First Nations version. So you can assume this donkey has not been ridden before. If you have any experience with horses, you can imagine what this might have looked like. The First Nations version provides this context. This humble chief did not fit the image of a conquering ruler. Instead of a war horse, he rode on a donkey colt. No mighty warriors rode next to him. No dignitaries came out to meet him. It was mostly the common people who welcomed him that day. I suspect that the common people who welcomed him that day knew the soil, the dirt below their feet, like the common people in Wendelberry's Kentucky know the soil and the dirt below their feet this day. The New Revised Standard Version in Matthew's Gospel actually describes what I find to be an even more provocative image, not Jesus riding in on the young colt with that young colt's mother next to it, but Jesus riding atop both the donkey and the young colt. So what was awkward just got even more so. Either way, though, however you imagine this, Jesus is as close to the dirt as you can get. The royal stallions rumble with power and might from one side, but imagine two donkeys plodding step by step by step. Just imagine the difference in speeds that the two would have come. See, Rome lords over the earth with an imposing battalion, and Jesus imagines or reimagines what it means to be king, gathering a ragtag, absurd cast of characters, coming defenseless, weaponless. Riding on a young donkey, he declares, without actually having to use any words at all, that he comes to dismantle and disrupt empire, neither by lording over from atop a warring stallion, nor by defending against with some impenetrable armor, nor by imposing upon with intimidating weaponry. Instead, Jesus will rule by walking among the common people, vulnerably saying yes to this wild ride atop a young donkey and their untamed colt, with only love and humility and suffering and sacrifice at his disposal. What we stand for is what we stand on. And it leaves me wondering if Jesus and Rome were standing atop the same ground at all. Wendell Berry pushes us to wonder. He says, whether we and our politicians know it or not, nature is party to all our deals and decisions, and she has more votes, a longer memory, and a sterner sense of justice than we do. We sang this in our opening worship, all creatures of our God and King, not some creatures. All creatures. And what a beautiful world. Not what a worldly resource to plunder and pillage. A beautiful world. And I wasn't familiar with any of his music, actually, until just this last week, but this stunningly provocative song, Citizens, from John Guerra. It's like, for me, the poetry and the prose of Wendell Berry set to music, calling us to question the ways we confuse and ride with a royal battalion trampling the ground under us instead of standing with the one who comes plodding atop a donkey. John Guerra brings the question of royalty and our relationship to what we stand upon in this current moment as he sings, "What is the meaning of Christian in this American life? I'm feeling awfully foolish, spending my life on a message. I look around and I wonder if ever I heard it right. I have a heart full of questions, quieting all my suggestions." It's like so many stories I've heard from folks gathered here. Coming into this place of recognizing the ways I've been imagining what it means to be Christian no longer hold. Have I actually just been bowing at the empire's thundering battalion? What do I do now that I notice this humble king atop a colt with her mother and branches and coats all below? Having submitted to the certainty of empire, Guerra, and I know many in this room, are now living with a heart full of questions about a vulnerable God who gathers among the common people and stays close and connected to the dirt. And the chorus that Guerra sings, and sings like the prophets of old and Wendell Berry, "I need to know there is justice, that it will roll in abundance, and that you're building a city where we arrive as immigrants and you call us citizens and you welcome us home as children home." Guerra's song challenges us to consider and resist the ways that dominant expressions of Christianity confuse the ways of empire with the ways of the Prince of Peace. He seems to call us from standing as onlookers of a royal battalion that is trampling into Jerusalem from one direction, and to stand instead with the crowds on the dirt stage the opposite way, as a single donkey and her young colt lead us into an utterly different kind of salvation. A more vulnerable way. A way more connected to the earth upon which we stand, a way more humble in which we see ourselves as just some of the many creatures God, our King, King not as we've imagined, but King re-understood, so loves. And if you feel like you don't always know how to reenact these ancient prophetic visions of old in the face of the trampling empire of this day, I want to suggest that we might actually be getting closer then to the humble one who gathers and folks around take off their coats, take off their identities, place them on the ground. See, maybe this lack of certainty is an actual expression of the humility which might be celebrated as we get our footing and wave oat branches this day atop a dirt stage in what is nothing more and nothing less than a street theater reenactment that exposes the fraudulent ways we've imagined God coming from above and calls us to look at the dirt below. Wendell Berry blesses those kinds of questions. He says, "It may be that when we no longer know what to do, we have come to our real work. And then when we no longer know which way to go, we have begun our real journey." The church calls that Palm Sunday. So as blood stains the earth around us, perhaps the questions we hold today are not too far from the questions posed on that first Palm Sunday after all. Will we choose the humble and the real, or insist on the delusions of empire? will we accompany Jesus on this ridiculous donkey and her baby, honoring the precarious, wild path that is faith? Or will our impatience continue to undermine our journey and leave us delusional to the addictive lure of empire's insidious ways? And when we go astray, and we inevitably will, may we remember that Jesus keeps walking with us among the common people who cry and beg for God to save us. Even our broken, misguided hosannas are more than enough for God who is God, the God who stands with those in resistance to a seemingly indestructible empire, showing us with body and action that indeed what we stand for is what we stand on. Amen.
Jesus invited his friends long ago back then to join him at the table for a meal, and he calls us now to today. And we, as we prepare to come forward for this meal, we want to bring you in on something that we've been wondering about. Maybe you noticed that the governor has lifted the emergency about pandemic. That kind of happened. And as of tomorrow, health places like hospitals and doctor's office, you don't have to wear a mask anymore. So things are shifting. And we've been through a lot. So I want to say that out loud. Amen. Yeah. And in the midst of that, when we came back into this building, one of the things that we chose to do was to go outside for our communion meal. And we did that because of safety concerns, but we also did that thinking about what we stand for is what we stand on. And so it's kind of a subtle thing. Maybe some of you noticed, maybe nobody, and it's okay. But when you go outside, you're on the dirt, and you smell the grass and or the squishiness, because we've had rain, thank you, God. The traffic is moving by, so you see the tar, right, the asphalt, and we share this meal in the midst of all of that. Because what we stand for is what we stand on. So we haven't decided, we being us. Are we going to bring it back in? What if we stay out there? What if it's 116 in July? Right. So we ask and invite you all to hold that with us as well. As we like discern and wonder, because we haven't made a decision about what we stand on and what we stand for in terms of gathering for this beautiful feast. So let us hold that question as we move and pause for this moment we call confession. And we do it in this season of Lent collectively in silence. So that feels good to hold a question. Holding our hearts with whatever brokenness we have been called to experience this week. Wherever we feel trapped or complicit. The places where the hurting comes into our bodies. Let us hold this time of silence as confession. Let us pray. God, who is our creator, our redeemer, who is sustainer, and always making all things new. In the name of that same God, you are forgiven. You are loved. You are now and always a beloved child of God. May God's children say amen.
Amen. I invite you to stand in body or spirit as we join together in the call and response that is the church's practice for recognizing God's presence in each and every part of creation around us. Friends, may the peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Beginning, when all was chaos, when water and earth had yet to take shape, God the sculptor, the painter, the creator touched the swirling mass. God's hand separated earth from water and water from sky. God touched the earth and plants turned green and fruit began to grow ripe. To celebrate, God threw holy fireworks in the skies, placing stars in the heavens, and God touched the oceans and rivers and ponds, and swimming beings made waves in the water, and God reached to the sky, and things with wings took flight, and God looked upon all of this and said, "This is good." When everything else was done, God took clay and formed an image of God's own self and breathed into it God's own breath and said, "You're the one I've been imagining. You and all creation is good." But it wasn't good for long, because God's people couldn't hold the truth that what they stand on is what they stand for. So God reached inside God's own heart and pulled out love and hope and justice and placed it in an embodied form that the people might recognize a holy human being named Jesus. And God set Jesus on earth to remind us of all that God has made us to be and to call us to love one another.
Did all that he could to tell us how much God loves us and to show us how to love one another. But we couldn't accept it and we couldn't agree about it and we became afraid. The principalities and powers lured the people of God to turn against the way made known in the life, ministry, and love of Jesus. And in the end, Jesus was given away by the very ones who thought they loved him best because the challenge was just too much. But before he was taken, Jesus gathered his friends around a table, and he promised them and promises us that he will never leave us alone, but will come back and take us home with him. And like those longest ago companions, we don't always understand the message that Jesus brings to us or what is coming and going and coming again means for us. And we can also still be grateful and sing the mystery that is our faith. On the night when Jesus gathered his friends together, he took the simple food that was their Passover meal. He took the bread and the cup of wine, and he blessed them both, and And he gave thanks to God and said, I'm sharing this meal with you now so that you can share it together whenever you gather and remember me. Us into prayer together with the words Jesus shared with his disciples so long ago that have been adapted and claimed by the church and named the Lord's Prayer. We encourage you to name and address God in the way that is most dear and true to your own heart. Let us pray. Our Mother, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Pour your Spirit, God, upon each of us gathered here and over these gifts before us. Make these gifts the body and the love of Christ, and make us, through them, your love alive in the world. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. All are welcome at God's table and at this feast. We encourage all of our friends that are with us from home or wherever you are tuning in online to bring close to you maybe your candle now, maybe your bread and your juice or cracker, whatever it is you have chosen. We invite everyone right now also to remember that you can't make a mistake. Even if you accidentally step on some of the clover, use it as an opportunity to remember God's story long ago, leading you into God's story today. In just a moment, Sarneet will direct you by going down the center aisle and we'll move outdoors. On the plates is bread that was baked for us. There are crackers for those of us who can't have gluten, and there is grape juice that is in the cup. Please remember that we're in this together. There are always people among us who have never tried this before, who have never been in this room before, and those of us for whom this is a practice that we feel fairly comfortable with. So we watch over one another. And if you are prompted to help, say yes and help. All right.
Friends, this is the body of Christ and the bread of life broken for the world, and the cup of God's love poured out for all. Thank you. encourage those praying with candles to stay for as long as you desire. God of unfolding grace, we give thanks for this holy mystery, the divine dance through which you are revealed to creation in the breaking of bread and sharing of a cup. May your peace make us one and call us ever deeper into the fabric of your grace alive in creation. Amen, amen, amen. In addition to responding to God by coming to the table, we encourage you to wonder about the next steps which God might have in store for you. As Sarneet named earlier, we will journey together through Holy Week, gathering at the farm this Thursday at 6 p.m., and we invite you to bring something to share, whether that's a baked good or homemade bread, something that you're making to share with others, or even just juice or a cider, and we'll gather out that space at 6 o'clock on Thursday outside to be close again to the dirt. We'll gather here on Friday for a somber remembrance of Jesus' crucifixion on Holy Friday at sunrise in the Rose Garden at McKinley Park, and then at 9:30 and 11 here for worship celebrations. The 9:30 worship will be online as well. Our Easter offering this year will go, the entirety of our Easter offering will go this year to support a Jesuit volunteer living in intentional community in downtown Sacramento and working out at New Folsom Prison alongside Greg and the multi-faith chaplaincy there at the prison. So as you wonder about ways that your own life can be generous in these times, we encourage and hope that you'll give generously to support that ministry and support a young person in moving next year alongside others in learning together out at New Folsom. Sarneet will be outside for those who want to connect and to wonder about next steps. We're starting a Growing in Faith series right after Easter that we have, I think, two more spots for. If anyone wants to sign up for those, we encourage you to do that today. And then especially for our folks who are in Davis or the Woodland area, we would love to talk with you after worship, because we're also going to start a Growing in Faith out there. So please find Pastor Linda or me after worship if you'd like to connect and you happen to be out there in Davis. Pearl and Mike and many others that might be among you. It is a gift to be together on this Palm Sunday and to move together into Holy Week with each of you in this time. I invite you to stand as you're willing and able, or in body or in spirit. Our musicians are going to send us out with a song that takes something that might sound very familiar and then twists, much like our gospel story does. This is our music team sharing, "Your Peace Will Make Us One."
Thine eyes have seen the glory of the coming I am the Lord. You are speaking truth to power. You are laying down our sword, replanting every vineyard till a Your peace will make us one. I've seen you in our home fires, burning with a quiet light. You are
stand for is what you stand on. May God's peace make us one for the composting journey that is yet ahead. May the love of God go with you now and always.